Metro. I remember that car. I think you could probably push it faster than it would drive. And yeah, if you hit an armadillo, the car would probably be totaled. I only drove one once. I was called to a job interview in Huntsville, Alabama. They needed computer programmers. I ended up not getting the job, but at least they flew me out there and gave me a car to drive and a hotel room to stay at. So it was, hey, it was a fun day, even though it was Huntsville, Alabama. Yeah, I remember that car. Almost looks like something I'm driving now, but that was, oh, remember another one. What happened to the Yugo? Remember that? It was this cheap car that sold for like $3,000, made in Serbia or somewhere. The Yugo company. Those were in the American market for a while, and then I guess they just vanished.
My American. I don't like buying anything not from this country. And I mean, it has nothing to do with anything, but I want to know where I can go meet the builder in the event that something's not right. And so, no Yugos, no Geo, no Kias, not... I don't like Hyundais, I don't like any of those things. And I'm just kind of, well, I am partial. I've got a 1978 Volkswagen Super Beetle convertible with 69,000 miles. It belonged to my sister, and when she passed away in 83, Mother and Daddy put all of her cars up, including a Mercedes. And so they put it all, and then 27 years later, they pulled the car out, sent it to the VW doctor, and gave it to my wife and me. And they knew I wanted it. And because I've always been kind of partial to VWs. So I've got this VW with 69,000 miles. And it's a convertible. And every knock on the door, I don't even answer the door anymore because everybody wants to buy it. And Daddy kept it hid all those years. And I probably should do that as well because, but it was my sister's. And, and she got it in the very most romantic way any girl could ever get a car. And so it was a neat thing. And I want to take it to Arizona, to one of those places that restore. But, you know, it doesn't need restoring. It's fuel-injected, a little hard to keep running. But I love that little car. But I am now a little larger than I used to be, and that means it's a little tough getting me out and steering. Well, we'll take it up on the Blue Ridge Parkway, do stuff like that. And but you can't find peace there either. Everybody wants to stop and talk to you. I understand because they don't ever see these vehicles anymore.
Hey, it's got Farford Nugent. VW made some good cars. Like, you know, even the original VW Beetle, for whatever you had to say about it, it was a good, basic, reliable car. Didn't look like much. You know, drove terribly. But, you know, a lot of people bought them. It's good basic transportation. I don't know. I'm not a car person so much. I just drive whatever, you know, whatever I happen to have that's a decent vehicle at the time. I actually got too many of them right now. I guess the one I take on road trips is the Toyota Prius because of the gas mileage. Let's see, the other one is a 2014 Taurus Police Interceptor. which is fun to drive, but not good on gas mileage. And, you know, number three is an F-150, you know, a good basic truck. You know, it's just good basic transportation and good basic hauling. And actually, the other one that I use on a daily basis, because it uses no electricity, is a little Mitsubishi IMEV from, like, 2012 or something, which, you know, costs 4 cents a mile to operate, so I'll use that much of the time.
Big time. The VW thing is, you know, it's a specialty. It's the only thing we use it for is pleasantry. Just to go, you know, and be out. But like I say, I've had a man walk up to me and said, show my son the inside of the trunk. I said, man, I could have 22 pounds of marijuana in that thing. He said, it don't matter. Show him the inside of the trunk. Well, okay. I opened it. One, there wasn't 22 pounds of marijuana. And it got so funny. But everyone wants to pick it up. They want to see their baby girls drive it. Everybody wants to buy it. And because it was my sister's, I won't ever sell it. I won't ever sell it. When I'm gone, they can, well, in fact, I don't know what they'll do with it then. I have said I'd like it to go to my granddaughter, who is Jeremy, the best guy I've ever known, but only if she's reliable, only if she's responsible, only if she's capable. Otherwise, don't give it to her. I got farm implements that I want to give away because I'm afraid what they'll do with them. You know, the Agricultural Museum in South Carolina here in Pendleton, they leave stuff sitting outside in the weather. I've got some really cool stuff, and I will not give it to them because I am so adamantly opposed to leaving it out in the weather. You know, let's not do that. But the bug, my nephew, who is house-sitting the Gilliard house, my nephew wanted to show his wife, you know, the bug. So he unwrapped it recently. I've kept it under wraps for forever. And I need to get it back under wraps because I just like it to be, you know, secured, you know, closed up, you know, taken care of. And it was Cynthia's, and bless her heart. My sister, everybody wanted to be a pilot. I swear to God, why? And so my sister ended up beating me to death on something that I'd done, and 90 days later she did the same thing and it killed her. And that was back in 1983. And she beat me to death in the house that I'm in right now. And she really did. And I just, no, not going to go down that path anymore. So she ended up dying. And this car, let me quickly tell you, this car, her husband, okay, he was a romantic. I'm going to let this thing bottom out. He was a romantic, and they lived in Irvine, California. And Cynthia wanted a Volkswagen, and my sister was a jogger. She would go jog. And so one day she jogs through this park, and she sees this little red Volkswagen sitting over there. And the next day she jogs through this park, and she sees this little red Volkswagen sitting over there. And on the third day, she walked up to the window and looked in, and there was a title with her name on it. And that's the way her husband gave it to her, which is pretty much a romantic thing to do. And so she got her Volkswagen that way. And my dad sent me to Oklahoma City to get it because Cynthia was trying to drive it across the nation to bring back Carolina. And I don't know why she just didn't make the commitment and do it, but she was driving it across the nation. And the first time I ever went to Oklahoma City was when I was sent to pick up that car. And I ended up owning a house there in one of the most valuable rental properties I've ever had in my life.
Liberty is useful for income if you get the right tenants. For some reason, I was never able to get the right people. So, I mean, you know, rentals are problematic. You know, tenants smash the place, they steal things, you know, you got to go back to the property and do major repair work. You know, big deal if you have a security deposit, it probably doesn't cover half of what's gone wrong. I don't know what other source of income to rely on right now, but you know, it's not going to be that. I'm sure you've probably had better luck than I have.
3-year contract on any rental property I've owned. When I say I've owned, that's not fair, mother and daddy, and I administered a lot of their property. But 3-year contract. The Norman property was 3 blocks below the law school on 2 city squares. And it had a media center that I'd put in, had storm shelters and all this other stuff. But it was the 3 blocks from the law school at the University of Oklahoma, down beyond the Sooner stadium. And I never went to a ball game there either. And so, but that's what we did. And we bought this thing. It didn't cost any. We bought it. It was $27,000. We bought it on a Sunday afternoon when we were riding around. She and I were renting up in Oklahoma City, and which is 14, 15 miles away from Norman. And so we bought this property. And I put, I think we put like $8,000 into it, and then 6 months of my life, and we did some work to it. Had 4 outlets. There was a painter that owned the house. He had 4 daughters. How do you raise 4 daughters with 4 outlets? I don't understand. And so, anyway, we bought this house, and I redid it. I really redid it, and it became a major piece of property, and I rented it for 3-year contracts, and rented it for a very large amount of money. It was right at the university. I mean, all you had to do was go to college. Your wife could be in the house. Your child could be in the backyard. It was fenced in. You didn't have to worry about that. And so, I mean, it was so much. It was a really grand property. And we didn't sell it until 5 years ago, maybe. And we let it go finally. And but we did ultimately let it go because I was going to have to do roofing and all this other stuff. And it's at 619 Kansas Street by the football stadium for the high school. And that was like 3 blocks away from the law school. So it was a great property.
Thing I should have learned is also when you make a rental agreement, put in an arbitration clause. In other words, any landlord-tenant disputes are to be settled by arbitration only, which means you can't hire some shyster lawyer to sue me and basically cause me to lose the property. So, arbitration clause, and also, you got to put the property not in your name. You got to find some way to hide the ownership.
I've always held them in our names. But that's interesting. Wow. Arbitration, absolutely, I can understand that one. Whoa, and the other one, I just have not had that much experience. I've only had three or four of these things, and I don't like renting property. I don't like it. Everybody, I've rented this Gilliard house up here for mother and daddy for years. Now, my daddy probably wouldn't have agreed with everything. And then my brother wanted to be close to my mother, so I took it off the market after the three-year contract. And so it became available again. Then he drops dead in the front room of this historic house. And I just, I don't like rental property anymore. I've talked to Kim. We need to downsize. I can't keep this land up. I cannot do it. There's nothing I can. We've got 6 pecan trees on this property. We got 3 maples in the front yard. I can't keep all this up. This is crazy. I mean, I'm already kind of, getting on the other side of a little bit decrepit. And so I can't keep this stuff up. So I don't know what we're going to do, but we are trying to pick up our little property down in Florida, and we're trying to do several other things. Like I said, we got this 22 acres in Arizona, and I didn't give any money for it. I can't believe we still own it, but there you are. And so I don't think I can ever get the money back out of it.
I soured on rental property basically for the reasons I hinted at. Tenants trash it, they don't pay, and because of some trumped up landlord-tenant dispute, some crooked lawyer ends up causing you to lose the damn thing. So I've pretty much had it with rental property. So those are the two things. Binding arbitration clause, and put the ownership in, like, the name of a corporation, an LLC, so that it's not directly in your name. If you have some thieving tenant who wants to sue you and try to get money out of you, he can't, it's not easy to find out who to sue, is the whole point there.
I keep a nephew for that. I got this kid that's my brother's son. He and I had some really great moments as he grew up. I put him in the front seat of a Volkswagen RV, a camper, when he was 12. And I said, when you hit that big river, let me know. The steering wheel's gigantic on those things. And so I went back in the back of the camper, and I was drinking and smoking and having a good time and sleeping. And here's this 12-year-old in the front seat driving. And I'd walk up there every now and then and say, how's it going? He said, well, people look at me funny. What? Well, we need to get you another book to go under your fanny. And so that's what we would do to raise him up a little bit. But he was raised on the farm like me, so I didn't have any I had no problems with that. And so he drove all the way to New Mexico at 12. And I kept him that entire summer and only brought him home when the mother called me crying. And my brother was saying, take him to Mexico and get him a real woman.
Well, sounds like you've got more interesting stories to tell you, but it's already getting late for me. But, yeah, thanks for the company. Because I'm at the point where I don't usually get to interact with people very much anymore, as I'm sure I said earlier. But yeah, it's like, what time is it? It's 12:34. So for me, that's like almost past my bedtime. But, you take care. Where's the computer screen? Yeah, Saturday, 12:34 a.m. Or 12:35 now. So, yeah, I think we've been at this for quite a while.
I do appreciate it. This is most time I spent on 2 meters. I don't suggest, you know, people ask me about ham tickets and all. I don't suggest that they go for anything above maybe a general. You know, maybe a general. I've had my ticket forever, and I cannot tell you that it's, I don't do anything with the extra frequencies. I don't do anything with them. So I don't go play. I don't go up there. And so, no, I did not know it was 12:30. I got to go in because my wife's going to be killing. She may have already locked me. I may have to actually live in this ham shack tonight. You have a good evening. I'm going to say 73s after your final, WA4HNT. And it's good to meet you. Thanks.
WA4HNT, KD2BNG. Anyway, you have good evening, 73s. And, yeah, you know, thanks for keeping me fun company. But, yeah, it's getting kind of past my bedtime. Oh, that's kind of a sad thing. But you take care, and I'm sure we'll talk again later, 73s.